Reading from Esther chapter 4, verses 12 through 14. When Esther's words were reported to Mordecai, he sent back this answer: "Do not think that because you are in the king's house, you alone of all the Jews will escape. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place, but you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to royal position for such a time as this." Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Tuesday, Testimony Tuesday, January 10th, 2023. In fact, I wrote down 2022, but I said it right. Listening friend, on this Testimony Tuesday, I have two special friends in the studio. One we interviewed, I don't know, some months back, and another was a part of our Friday edition of Mark and Friends, Pastor Mark Jordan, who helped facilitate a discussion and was very encouraging. I've referred to him as my Barnabas many times when he attends the Ministry Leaders Network luncheon. He always has a kind word or an affirming word, or we'll share something that this is just great how the pastors are unified and coming together. And, oh, Mark, you do this. Or he's just been one of those Barnabases for me. So thank you, Mark, for joining us. And thank you, John Wieland. He was interviewed some months ago when we talked about his book, Uncommon Threads, Weaving a Life Through Family, Business, and Faith. And I thought about him being a special speaker for our Ministry Leaders Network. And so last Thursday, he delivered a message on storytelling and the power behind telling a story, being authentic. And today he's going to share a little more. He's going to also share about an Esther story. Maybe I can get him to recap that Molly story, his dog Molly, because that was like a life lesson that we all could identify with, or we could see the wisdom in it, and it really had some spiritual ramifications. So I'll see if he can share that. And what I loved about last Thursday's gathering, guys, was the fact that so many hung around and talked and shared and were encouraging one another. And then, John, I think you had at least 7, 8, 10 different people that wanted your book to be signed, which John gave free copies to all these pastors and ministry leaders. We were right around 40 that attended, and they left with the book. There wasn't a single book left behind. They all wanted to take it. And this book, Uncommon Threads, Weaving a Life Through Family, Business, and Faith, is kind of a inside look into some of John's stories, his life stories, his journey of learning things from the Lord and how he recounts them through storytelling. And so part of today's edition of Mark and Friends is to encourage you as a listener to tell your story, to think about how you can communicate your love for the Lord or your faith journey or your life story. So thank you, John, for driving in from Peoria and being a part of Testimony Tuesday. And thank you, Mark, for also being here for this program. And Mark, I'm going to begin with you because as a pastor, you know the importance of telling stories. Jesus told many different parables. How do you as a pastor each and every week, do you come up with your own stories? How do you prepare? And then we're going to hear some of the stories that John loves to tell and share.
Well, I think the coolest thing is the entire scriptures is a story. And so it starts at the creation and it ends at the consummation of all things. And we're all a part of that story. And so as we share the story of Christ and all those stories contained in the scriptures, that's our tribe, man. That's our history. And as we come to Christ, these are our folk, you know, and we get to hang out with them forever and ever and ever. And so it's cool to tell their stories and retell their stories. And it's a joy to do.
You know, John, I should have maybe prefaced this. I didn't introduce Mark fully. He's the senior pastor at New Horizon Church in Champaign. But Mark loves to share out on the streets. I think you go to Mardi Gras sometime with a group of people, loves to share his faith, to walk up to anyone and engage them into conversations and see if it's appropriate or there's a way to weave Jesus into it. So he loves telling stories and sharing his testimony of how God transformed his life. And that's pretty much what you did in this book, Uncommon Threads. You shared a number of your own life stories.
Yeah, when I wrote the book, I wanted to create an environment where I could tell stories that had a point to it, a call to action. A lot of the stories are not stories of success, but stories of swing and misses and Some are funny and some are sad. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to create space for the listener or the reader to have the freedom to look in their own mirror and hopefully have movement in their life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you began with the Molly story, which is a fun one that I'm going to ask you to share with our listeners. But your point and one of the things that you wanted all these pastors and ministry leaders to be aware of is that God is for us. And how did you learn that through an animal, through your pet Molly?
Yeah, well, I told them about our pet dog who is now deceased. Her name was Molly. We had her for 13 long, long years. She had bad eyesight. She was psychotic during thunderstorms, and she never really learned the concept of potty training.
Mm-hmm.
But when it would thunderstorm, if we were gone, for some reason, Molly would look for a water supply line and use it as a chew toy. And so three times since while we had Molly, she flooded our furnished basement. And so I would have to take up the carpet, take up the pad, bring in carpet layers and have to redo it. And it cost us, you know, thousands of dollars over the years to do that.
And you said three different times.
Three different times. I tell people she was not on my Christmas list, but the carpet layers would send Molly Christmas cards because they made a lot of money. And so she had a history of doing things like that. The thing that kind of capped it off is one time I was home alone, and I needed to leave for about a half hour, so I decided to put Molly in the garage. When I got back in a half hour, the garage was in shambles. Everything was knocked over. They knocked over a gas can, a plastic gas can, and so I had to clean the whole mess up. And there was a little puddle of gas that needed to be cleaned up. And so you can clean up gasoline by putting compound on it and sweeping it up or taking rags and wiping it up. A lesser known way is to go inside the house, find a match, and light the match and throw it on the gas, let it die out. And so I think the listening audience knows which one I chose. And so I did that, and the puddle started to evaporate. I didn't see there was another trickle going someplace else, and evidently underneath a bunch of other things, there was about a puddle about five times as big. And all of a sudden, that blew up, and I now have a healthy garage fire in a attached garage. And so I'm like, I'm in trouble. The actual plastic gas can was melting. And it had about 3 gallons of gas in it. Now, I'm not a fireman, but I think that's not good.
Not a fireman or a son of a fireman.
No.
As they say.
And so I actually were able to get the gas can out of the garage, but there was still a healthy fire. I took my dress shirt off and tried to put it out, and that just fanned the flames. And I was like, I am really in serious trouble. And then I was like, hey, I think we have a fire extinguisher. And then I was like, well, I wonder where that's at. So I actually found it on my second try. And then another question is, well, how do you use it? And I figured out it was rather self-explanatory, and I was able to put out the fire. So I lost a power washer, a gas can, a ladder, a power cord for a generator, and any self-respect I had. Mm-hmm. And at this point in time, some of the listening audience, or maybe most of the listening audience, is thinking, John, you're kind of a moron, aren't you? But that's not the point. The point was, it was Molly's fault. It was her fault, and I held a grudge. That was my life with Molly. But then about 3 months later, Julie and I went to the movie theater, and we got back about 11, and we decided to leave Molly out in the yard because she liked to be outside. We have a wireless fence. But during the movie, a thunderstorm happened. Well, Molly is nowhere to be found, and it's 11 o'clock. I spent 2.5 hours driving around neighborhoods looking for Molly, and my heart was sinking. I knew she was lost, she was wet, she was cold, she was scared. And I decided the best thing to do was go home and get some sleep and start to look for her in the morning. And about 3 o'clock, sleep was eluding me, and then I heard something, and I sat up and I heard a bark, and it was Molly, and I put my bathrobe on and ran outside, and there she was at the end of the cul-de-sac, not willing to go across the wireless fence because she'd get shocked. So I picked her up, carried her over into the house. She was shivering. She was wet. I got a warm towel. I dried her off. I was hugging her. I was kissing her on the head. I was saying nice things to her. Gave her some food, and she finally went to sleep. And I went to sleep with just a deep sense of joy. Well, the next morning, I woke up and said, what was that display of affection all about? I thought I didn't like this dog. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I love that dog. Mm. Why did I love that dog? Because she gave me great joy? No, not really. Because she wasn't a pain in my bottom? No. Because she didn't cost us a lot of money? No. I realized I loved her because she was my dog. Mm. She was part of my family. She lived in my house. And this is a spiritual point. We are so dysfunctional. Mm. And yet our Heavenly Father loves us. And that was just a moment where I realized that God is for us.
Mm-hmm. I'm thinking, Mark, as he told that story last Thursday, you could hear a pin drop. I mean, I think everyone took it in because we can all identify that we've fallen short. We've missed the mark. We've disappointed God. We're unworthy. We can't earn our way into heaven. And yet we do have this God that pursues us, that loves us, that showed that extravagant love through Jesus. That's kind of a message that you preach probably in different ways every Sunday. But for the listener that may be a fan, well, that's kind of a sweet story. I love my dog and I can identify, but how have you seen God reveal his true love for all of us?
Well, I certainly think, Mark, that when I came to Christ, I discovered a father that I didn't know I had. Mm-hmm. And our God is our Heavenly Father. Jesus is our elder brother. You guys are brothers in Christ to me. And my wife and others are sisters in Christ to me. We're part of this family. And we didn't deserve it. We didn't buy it. We didn't earn it. We've been born again into it. And as you said, John, there's a pedigree there. There's a citizenship. We've been adopted. And all those adoptive parents out there in your listening audience know good and well that our children are our children no matter how they came to us. And we have four children. And I tease my wife constantly. I say, which one's your favorite? And she hits me and she says, don't ever ask me that. Because they're all our favorites, yeah. And we are all God's favorites.
I remember my dad, I grew up with three siblings, so it was, children of four, and we'd always ask our father, who do you love the best? Mm-hmm. And his response was, who's ever sitting on my lap? And I thought, that is so appropriate. Yeah. Now, it got a little uncomfortable when we were teenagers to sit on his lap. But the point is, he is perfectly content focusing on us.
Yeah. Well, John, you also were sharing about an Esther story situation where you wanted to encourage people in this new year in 2023 to recognize that they can make a difference, that nobody has been created for no reason. We all have plans and purposes that God desires and designed to work in and through us as we submit to him, as we surrender to him. But tell us a little bit about that Esther story moment.
Yeah, I was in a meeting and I had to close the meeting. There's probably about 100 people. It was a secular environment, but I wanted to give them some spiritual encouragement. And so I shared with them a lesson from the rich history of Judaism. Mm. And it was during the Persian Empire, and the commander of the Persian Empire wanted to destroy the Jews, and he got the king to sign an edict for the Jews to be destroyed. The queen at that time was Queen Esther, who was a Jew, and her cousin was Mordecai. So anyway, the only way that the Jews was going to be saved was for the queen to go to the king. Mm. The king hadn't talked to Esther for a month, and to go to the king without his permission could mean death. Mordecai said, you got to go. And Esther said, I don't want to go. And then as you read at the beginning that passage, Mordecai said, how do you know that you are not in this place for such a time as this. Mm-hmm. And that's called the Esther moment. She was the right person in the right place with the right message at the right time. Mm-hmm. And so as I thought about it, as we start 2023, I'm asking the listening audience, God has created us for a purpose. And I think each one of us will have an Esther moment in 2023 where you are the right person in the right place with the right message at the right time. Mm-hmm. Go find your Esther moment this year.
I know some people have a practice when they wake up. Maybe one of the first things they do or pray is like, Lord, order my steps this day. Help me seize opportunities. Help me seek out those divine appointments, you might say, or help me be used to further your kingdom purposes, or help me press kingdom influence, power, and authority wherever I go. Because we all are influencers. Some of us may think, well, you know, I'm not on the radio, or I'm not a pastor of a church, or, you know, I'm not in this influential role. No, you could influence that neighbor kid. You could say a kind word to the waitress at a restaurant. You could be instrumental in turning somebody's day around. Maybe they're thinking very negatively about themselves, maybe contemplating suicide or whatever, but your kind, tender, affirming word might make all the difference. So I'm sure God has many Esther moments for all of us if we'll focus on his leading and his will.
Amen.
Now, Mark, I'm coming to realize one of the additional reasons for having you a part of today's broadcast, besides you being a good friend and I love your spirit and your heart for the Lord, but you were going to introduce John to our radio listening family and his book, Uncommon Threads, Weaving a Life Through Family, Business, and Faith. I'm thinking these 40 or so pastors that were here the other day, somebody had told me, I bet there's going to be a number of sermon illustrations out of this book this past Sunday or in future Sundays. But Mark, maybe from the back of this book, Uncommon Threads, you can read the little highlight of who John is and why we appreciate him so much.
Sure. Well, let me introduce this guy to you. Here's John Whelan. He purchased a small, virtually bankrupt company in 1994. And under his leadership, MH Equipment has gone from having 3 branches and 50 employees to having over 900 employees, and I think you told us today 1,000, in over 30 branches. And Whelan is also the president of His First Foundation, a nonprofit that receives 10%, a tithe, of MH Equipment's profits. And he teaches college graduates how to handle money responsibly. He's a speaker and will preach from time to time. And he and his wife, Julie, have 4 kids, Jessica, Jennifer, Jamie, and Josiah. And we spent some time in Peoria, one of the favorite places we've ever lived. And as a pastor at First Church, which was downtown, we lived in the Uplands up on Columbia Terrace. It was a 10-minute drive, all those stoplights. But, John, I want to tell you what. I could back up, hit the alley, blaze across the street, onto the interstate ramp, take the exit, run across the YMC parking lot, and I would be at our church in 1 minute and 40 seconds.
That is good. Well, I will say that the Methodist Church in Peoria, they do a great job living out the social gospel.
Amen.
They minister to the least of our community.
Praise God. It's a church with a heart in the heart of the city.
Yeah.
And John, one of the things we have in common is we shared Dr. Bruce Dunn together. Dr. Bruce Dunn, many of you may be familiar with the story of our radio ministry being launched, as he, one time in a Bible study that I was attending at his house, he was praying for a radio ministry to be birthed in the greater Champaign-Urbana area, East Central Illinois, and he shared that prayer request for a couple different weeks, and then on the third time he shared it, he pointed at me and he said, Mark, I believe God's going to raise, you know, he was the old school, it's in the book, it's in the Bible. And he said, I believe God's going to raise you up to do that. And he was the one that got me connected with the Moody Bible Institute and the Moody Broadcasting Network and set up an appointment with Bob Neff. And I've told this story many times over the air, but Dr. Bruce Dunn was the senior pastor at Grace Presbyterian Church in Peoria and was a legend in a good way. I mean, he loved the Lord, he loved God's word, and he taught it. And anyways, he retired across the river from us, and so we got to meet with him for a long time. And you've heard some of that story, why we went to the National Religious Broadcasters Convention, because he was being honored and inducted into the Radio Broadcasters Hall of Fame. But after he shared the vision for me to go up to Moody, which I did and started the ball rolling, 3 months later, he went to be with the Lord. Mm-hmm. So this radio ministry was really birthed because of some of his, him being a catalyst to get me to move forward. And then he goes and is with the Lord. And then a few years later, we finally got on the air. I mean, there's a lot of work to do to get the frequency and start it all. But, and again, Dick Van Zandt, who was a part of that, who started the WLUJ family of stations, which we acquired a few years ago, how we connected, and Dick Van Zandt was instrumental in getting us on the air. And so now with our 19 frequencies, having a really great imprint over all of Central Illinois and West Central Indiana, we appreciate it.
I will say the one verse that comes to mind when I think about Dr. Dunn would be in Romans. I'm not ashamed of the gospel.
Praise God.
He was not ashamed of the gospel, and he was bold.
Well, John, thank you for speaking at our Ministry Leaders Network luncheon last Thursday and giving all those pastors and ministry leaders a book. I still have a few books here at the Great News Media Center, and we have some at our Springfield location. It's titled Uncommon Threads, Weaving a Life Through Family, Business, and Faith. You can go online and purchase it there or stop by the station, and we'd be happy to get you a copy. It's by John Wieland and the illustration by Jim Burkle, who is very, very talented. And so many of the stories have these great illustrations that I think you're going to really enjoy. It's Weaving a Life Through Family, Business, and Faith. May we have those divine appointments, those Esther stories today and throughout this week into the future. And thank you, John. Thank you, Mark, for being a part of today.
Sure.
Testimony Tuesday's edition of Mark and Friends. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, John Wieland, and Mark Jordan with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day and night.
I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and his glory, of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story.